I am joined by Bruce Bishop. Now, Bruce is a native Yarmouthian, lived here for a long period of time, and has spent a lot of time on the road as well, doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of many different things. He worked in freelance traveling and wrote a lot of travel guidebooks and that kind of thing for a long period of time. He now has a novel, his first ever. It is called Unconventional Daughters. It is fascinating, and I'm joined by Bruce Bishop right now. Bruce, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, I'm delighted, Wade. Thank you for calling.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the novel. I kind of prefaced it a bit, but tell us what you've been up to. You have done an awful lot in your life.
Well, yeah, I suppose I have. You know, it's one of those things you don't stop and think about it, but life just presents opportunities in front of you, and you go for it. Yes, I am a born and bred Yarmouthian. Left at 18 to go to university in Halifax, and then after that to Toronto. Had no idea I'd end up in Toronto for 25 years, and then came back to Yarmouth in 2004 for personal reasons with my family, and stayed in Yarmouth till 2017, and then decided to move to Halifax. So, always a Maritimer at heart. I think every Nova Scotian wants to come home at some point, and I'm so glad I did to spend those years in Yarmouth and also now in Halifax.
Now, you have worked as a writer for a long time, but this is the first time you've done a novel. Tell me, is it one of those things you've kind of always dreamed of doing? I know that many people who write, myself actually, have dreamed a bit of getting down and writing a novel. Is it something you've always wanted to do?
It is, but you know, it was never in the forefront for many years because I had studied film and television production, and I thought that I'd be the next Norman Jewison when I was in my 20s. I mean, I lived and breathed Canadian film. It was later on when I began travel writing and then got fairly successful at it with guidebook contributions and freelance writing with the newspapers that writing just became my career, really. And then after that, it was public relations work and that type of thing, but also always in the travel and tourism business. So the novel came about, honestly, when you're a former travel writer and you're faced with a pandemic, well, hello, you're not going to be traveling very much in the foreseeable future. And the pandemic did shut all of us down in the early part of this year. So I thought, I'm going to try it. I'm just going to try my hand at a novel, and I'm going to use some old letters that I had gotten when I was 18 years old and elaborate on those letters and build it into a novel.
Oh my goodness, is that right? Okay, well, let's talk about the novel itself, at least on a high level. Tell us a little bit about Unconventional Daughters and what Unconventional Daughters is.
Well, okay, it's as I said, it was inspired by four letters that I had received back when I was a teenager. And I remember at the time my mother said to me, hang on to these, you know, you might do something with them someday. And the letters were written, handwritten, by a young woman from Yarmouth on her honeymoon in Europe in 1927. And she was, as I said, writing these letters to her mother. But the weird thing about the letters was that she had married her stepfather. She had married her mother's second husband. And apparently, from what I could glean from the letters that I had, it was all fine with the mother. I mean, she was cool about it. So I thought, okay, 1927 in my hometown, I bet that went over like a lead balloon with a lot of local people. And that's how the story started. I wanted to make it completely fictitious, though. All I was using was the actual incident of a marriage happening between, you know, a young woman and her stepfather, and that was it. The whole plot line, the characters, all of the rest of it is made up.
Very, very interesting. But there's so much history in this. This one, it's funny, it has everything because it takes place in really three different locations, the U.S. and Canada and Sweden, because the sisters moved there at some point. Also, it has a pandemic. The Spanish flu in this instant. It has the war. It has a lot of history. It has a lot of Yarmouth in it. So it encompasses an awful lot.
It does. You know, when you think of those years between the 1880s, 1890s, and the first three or four decades of the 20th century, so much happened. I mean, I guess I must have heard somewhere, read somewhere about anyone who was born in 1900 would have lived the most amazing life had, you know, if that person lived beyond the age of 45 or 50, just because so much happened in the first half of the 20th century. So once I got going on the actual research and writing, I thought, wow, well, we had the Halifax explosion, and we had the Spanish flu hit Halifax and Yarmouth and everywhere else in Nova Scotia. And yeah, there were a lot of things that did happen that were fairly easy to research. The Swedish material was a bit more difficult to research, especially regarding adoption records in the 1890s and that type of thing. But I had as good of a time researching it as I hope people get when they read the book.
Well, I enjoyed that part of it, and I think for anyone who really isn't aware of how robust things were in Yarmouth back in the day, this is kind of a great lesson, because you cover that very nicely, and it's fascinating. And I have a nosy question more than any other kind of question, but they moved into a home on Forest Street. And I was quite curious, because you lived on Forest Street for a long time, and I was wondering, is that your house, or is that the house next door?
It's the house next door.
I thought so.
Yeah. And it's funny, because two of the young ladies, two sisters who live there, were my neighbors as a kid growing up, and they both, from what I understand, have read and bought the novel and got a real kick out of the fact that it was their house I was writing about. Because I guess it wasn't the only one with a cupola on Forest Street, because I think 41 Forest Street also has a cupola from what mm-hmm. I remember. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I love the house that I grew up in, but the one next door to me was just so big and stately, you know, bigger.
No question about it. Now, how's the response been?
Well, really good. Really good, especially from Nova Scotians in particular. And it's a little bit harder dealing when you're a self-publisher, dealing with getting potential buyers from outside Canada. And the reason for that is because I'm self-published on Amazon.ca. And I've been so appreciative of all the nice reviews and the ratings that I've received. I think it's a 4.6 out of 5 rating. And unfortunately, though, those same reviews and ratings aren't seen on any other Amazon marketplace. So therefore, you know, when I talk to my sister who lives in Florida saying, oh, you know, check out Amazon.com, and then I realize, well, no, don't check out Amazon.com, because you can't even see the reviews from the Canadian reviewers. So in other words, it's doing very well here. Internationally, I've got to step up my game.
Wow, how do you do that? That's a very interesting problem. And I know it's more than interesting for you, but it's kind of interesting to think that I had no idea that in Canada it was one marketplace and internationally it's another.
Well, we have a fellow friend in Germany, who lives in Germany, and she bought the book on the Amazon German site and left a review in English on the Amazon German site, and nobody can see it unless you actually go on to the Amazon German site. So it's a very strange process, I guess, in a way. It's certainly got its great points and some not so good points, but I do have the option in the future to use other platforms like Barnes & Noble or Kobo or Apple Books and put the book on those platforms as well. It's just that when you're doing it on your own, when you're self-publishing, you're everything, as they used to say, chief cook and bottle washer. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that it's hard to find time to write the second book. Yeah, it's a balancing act.
No question about it. Start to finish, how long did it take you to get Unconventional Daughters written?
I think I started the first week of March and finished in November. But that includes, of course, having beta readers. Beta readers are people that read the first draft of your manuscript, and then they tell you what's good and bad about it. Then you have an editor or editors who also go through it line by line, section, chapter by section, you know, whatever. It's not simply the writing and then all of a sudden it goes online for sale. There were a lot of really very helpful family and friends who helped me with this.
Makes sense. You mentioned a second novel. Are you working on it right now?
Yeah, I am. I've got about 25,000 words written so far. Usually historical novels average between 90,000 and 100,000 words. So I've got a little ways to go, but it will be called Unrepentant Sons. And it's not a sequel, but it is interlinked to the first book. And what that means is that there will be some characters from the first book who are pretty dominant in the second book.
Very interesting. Now, one final question, and it's the simplest of questions, but may result in some results when it comes right down to it. And that is, how does somebody buy this novel?
Oh, my gosh. Well, everybody's online these days. First thing, you can always go to my website, which is brucebishopauthor.com. Better yet, you could also go directly to amazon.ca and type in either my name. The official name on the book is Bruce W. Bishop, because there are some other Bruce Bishops out there in the world. So Bruce W. Bishop on amazon.ca, and then that will take you right to the page for the book itself.
Okay. I bought mine on Kindle and enjoyed it immensely. It was a real joy to read. Congratulations on it and best of luck in the future. Let's talk again once the second novel is ready to be published.
Thanks so much, Wade. It was a pleasure.